Okay, let me start by explaining about how many of us have started reading the Safe People already? Safe People book. How many of us are reading that? I hope you like it so far. It's good stuff. Okay, we're doing it in a family group, and I want to go through some issues. One, if you're a family group leader, you facilitate the conversation. There's a big difference between facilitating and preaching. So you're not preaching, you're facilitating, and the questions are there. Are we together on that? Use your prerogative to decide how long, because it can take long, depending on what people are talking about. Does that make sense? So you may want to finish a chapter the same day, but it might not work. So you may want to take that twice. And then as a group, take the liberty to figure out how often you want to meet in between. It is important that you agree. I just want to say, if you leave it too long, it can lose the impact you're trying to have as a group. So there'll be a bit of sacrifice needed, but it's fun. There's a lot of learning that goes on. And as you discuss, the purpose is to bring you to an awareness of what God expects relationships to look like and not a fixing time. It's not a fixing time. It's not a fixing moment. It's helping us to be aware so that we can start. What's the difference when you're aware? If you're driving on the highway and you know there's a car on the left and on the right, do you just change lanes? No, you start thinking. When you start fixing, you put on the blue lights and you pull people on the sides. And that's a problem. We're not putting on the blue lights. We're making people aware so they don't turn left, don't turn right yet. The right time will come for you to do all that. As we get safe, I'll figure out I need help. Jeff, can you help me with this? I noticed during the discussion, I have this thought that keeps coming. Can you help me? That conversation will begin to follow. Am I making sense? We good? Any questions around this so that we all implement this well? Okay, I presume that no questions, meaning we understand. Good. Okay, moving forward. Let me see where I have all the gadgets. Today I want to talk about the family of God. As we all know, this month we're talking about the body of Christ. So I want to talk about this today. And before I get here, let me introduce it a little bit. And the whole of, it's just Romans 12 begins with renewing your mind and not conforming to the world, being different. Having said that, before I get into this, I want to say that the family of God then needs to be an alternative to the world, very different from the world. Yet the world has become very aggressive in the way it pushes family values, who we are, our identity, to us today. In other words, you can get a lot of information on your phone. That's very aggressive. You follow that? I mean, if you're pumping gas, there's an advertisement going on. If you're driving, how many billboards you see by as you drive, there's just everywhere. They're trying to talk to you about who you are and what you're supposed to be like. And whether you like it or not, they say as long as you watch, you're getting scripted. In other words, values are being passed on you, whether you permit it or not. Just the fact that you watch that, scripting starts happen, and somehow you'll think about it. I mean, if you think about it, I got to the States and asked myself, why did I choose AT&T? You know, AT&T was in Africa way long before Verizon ever existed. So I showed up and like, it was easy for me to accept AT&T, even though Verizon was supposedly everywhere. Well, I'll go with him. It's better. Because he has that, I'm sure. But that's his opinion, not mine. The point being, once you hear it, it begins to influence you. You follow that. Now, having said all that, I say all that to say that whether you like it or not, somehow, if we don't pay close attention to how the body of Christ should look like, we may conform to the world. And the world identities are very different. The identities of politics, the identities of color, the identities of money, background,
That's what the world chants out. But the Bible doesn't chant that out. So it said, do not become like the world, be renewed in your thinking and change in how you look at the world. So we are not the world. We have to rethink, how does the body of Christ look like? If people walked in here, how different are we? That becomes a question. So I say all that to start talking about this. Because of the privileges, chapter 3, after all that has been said, it says, because of the privileges and authority God has given me, I give each of you this warning. Don't think you are better than you really are. Be honest in your evaluation of yourselves, measuring yourselves by faith, by the faith God has given us. He says all that in chapter 1 and 2 and said, don't conform to the world. And then chapter 3 says, the privilege given to him by God, the authority, is a privilege to serve people, to lead people, to do anything, has given to me. I give each of you this warning. Don't think you are better than you really are. Be honest. That part of being a family of God is for us to be able to detect our personal weaknesses. That I don't sit around there pointing. I'm busy thinking, how can I grow as a person? Because as I grow, then I can help in a better, godly way. So he talks about that. He says, evaluate yourselves, measuring yourself by faith God has. That it's not a competition, but it's an honest saying, you know what, I think I'm doing this and I need to repent and do a better job here in the family of God. Just like in a healthy family, you catch yourself, you're doing things, and you change. The other day, I was having a conversation with my daughter, and I said, oh, they're all women. And she asked me, Dad, what do you mean they're all women? And I figured, oh, my goodness, I need to take that back. That's what a healthy family does. They're going to ask you questions, and you keep walking at it, but you cut yourself. So I think I'm going off here, I'm going off there. That is a healthy place to be. You detect what's going on in your spiritual life. You begin to grow in the family of God. When the family is doing that, we grow. When we don't do that, we're in denial. And growth doesn't happen. Because none of us is perfect. We're all growing. Does that make sense? So we need to embrace this teaching that let's evaluate ourselves properly, but let's use faith to do that, not beating ourselves down. Let's understand it's a privilege, but let's not conform to the world. The world denies anything is wrong. The body of Christ says, you know, we're growing, we're changing that, we're changing that, we're changing that. Because when you're in denial, you tend to run into shame and guilt. That's why you're afraid to admit anything. And when you run into shame and guilt, again, the natural place of after shame and guilt is performance. No, we want to go to, we detect, we see the grace of God, we change and grow because of His grace by the faith that He's given us. Does that make sense? If we can talk about things, instead of hiding stuff that just holds us down, we begin to grow as a body of Christ. It becomes different. When the family is like that, you feel close, connected, and you want to make changes. When the family is not like that, you feel uptight, afraid to be known, because you think, if they really knew who I am, I'd be put down. And that doesn't help the body of Christ to grow. That's a sick body. So the body of Christ needs to grow. So here's one. Serve the body of Christ. Just as our bodies have many parts and each part has special functions, so it is with Christ's body. We are many parts of one body. Let me take that. We are many parts of one body. And we all belong to each other. In His grace, God has given us different gifts for doing certain things well. So if God has given you the ability to prophesy, speak out with as much faith as God has given you. So let me say this. Do you realize you all have a talent, an ability, something to serve with? You do. You're the body of Christ, but there's something you do well. And you can't just hold it. You've got to use it. Find a niche to serve. He says, you know what? You've got to use, you're part of the body of Christ to function. You know, we're putting out announcements. We need more teachers. Maybe you're really good with kids. If you don't know, go and try out. We need someone to do flowers and make sure the stage is looking great. Maybe you have an eye of detail and beautification. Think about that. But many of us are afraid to say, what will that take? You don't enjoy life by holding back. You enjoy life by giving of yourself. When you give of yourself, it's amazing how you enjoy life. Now, you also risk more things, but you grow more. So, prophet, do it with faith given to you. If your gift is serving others, serve them well. If you are a teacher, teach well. You know, you cannot serve people you don't like. So if you don't like the body of Christ, you may not serve. Where's your identity? Where do you like to give your most energy? It's okay to give your energy at work, but here's where you want to give your best. This is the body of Christ. It's okay to give to your family, and you need to do that. Give to your family, give to your relatives and all that. But this is the body of Christ. That's where your identity is, that we are created by God to belong to this body. So we can really give of ourselves. But it's hard to serve people you don't really like or you don't trust. It's hard for you to do that. It's hard because something holds you back. For you to serve effectively, you've got to give your heart, love of God, with mind, soul, and strength. Then you begin to serve. And I say everyone here has a capability to do something. Even just the fact that you show up, how do you worship? When I sit around you, do I feel the vibe of, man, this is a good place to sit and worship? Or do I sit there and I'm thinking, maybe I'm singing too loud. I hardly hear this person singing anything. Sometimes we just take it away. Serve them well. Teach well. A lot of the brothers that do the teaching every Sunday. So, I mean, it's a lot. And we teach children, we teach one another. There's a lot of things we can help with. If your gift is to encourage others. How's the encouragement going? I know we do texts. But the best encouragement is to show up and say, I really appreciate that you did this. And I'm not saying that you come and tell me that. One another in the family groups. What do we see in people and say, can I encourage you? Thank you for doing this. Now, not flattery, something you really thought through. Not just saying it for the sake of, about encouragement, I'm going to tell them. But you've thought through and you see that this is working in that person's life. It's good to encourage people. The world gives you a lot of knocks anyway. So this is a place of coming to be encouraged as well. If God has given you leadership ability, take the responsibility seriously. Care for people. Think through it. What are we trying to do as you build safe people? Are the books in place? Figure that out. Encourage them to get the books. Get the conversation going. As we try to help people to become Christians, set that up. Reach out to them. Let's see if you can start it with them. That's all leadership you're doing there. Work for it. If you don't do anything, nothing will change. If you just show up and say, they didn't come, but you don't call and find out, how are you? What's going on? It'll not function. You've got to provide leadership. And if you have a gift for showing kindness to others, do it gladly. Please show kindness. It's a gift. Many of us are not always kind, you know. We speak our mind too quickly without thinking, was that kind? It's a gift. Some people can say the most difficult and they're so kind. It's a gift. Work with that. We need that in the body of Christ. Take delight in honoring each other. Don't just pretend to love others. Really love them. Hate what is wrong. Hold tightly to what is good. Let me ask a question. Do you have unresolved issues in your heart with people in your family group? So you come along and you put on the church face, but you never deal with that stuff. It festers, it destroys the body of Christ. You've got to talk about that stuff and keep moving. Talk about stuff and keep holding on that stuff. It holds you down. It builds a root of bitterness. We need to let go of stuff. Once we've had a conversation around it, it's good to let go. But he didn't say sorry. Well, God will deal with that guy now.
once you've done your part of conversation and they didn't say sorry and all that stuff, give them over to God. Do not be overcome by evil. Overcome evil by doing good. Make sense? Because sometimes we're looking for, I need to go back and have more conversations. Sometimes you're playing yourself. Let it, give it over to God. It's a done deal. You've done it. Let it go. So, don't just pretend to love others. Real love. And this is where we've got to understand, we are a family of God. Our identity is that God is our Father. So we connect there. Does that make sense? And because of that, we can really talk about things, but do it with love and not just hold things, but really make sure that we're not pretending that this is our home, this is our family. We give our best to this. When you understand that, you begin to work out things and you really enjoy the family of God. You have a good time. You know, good friends are hard to find, but we can be friends for one another. When we do this, we can really start developing those friendships that are really good, that last a long time. I'm telling you, we need to be there for one another. It's the most important thing we can do. It says, hold tightly to what is good. Really love them, hate what is wrong, hold tightly to what is good. I think we sometimes let go of things so easily. We let go of our convictions so easily. We don't say, why am I making this decision? Check your convictions and say, why am I doing what I do? Then let God lead you with that. Don't just let that go easily. Couples, I mean, as married people, fight for your marriage. If you're a young couple, have fun. Hold it together. But if you've been together 30, 40, 50 years plus, please fight for it. But I think I want to talk for men when you're in the, especially men when you hit the midlife crisis. You want to hold it together. Because midlife is an interesting place for men. We're wondering about what did we do, our future looks like. It's, the plane is around to land. If you follow my analogy, we've been flying and now we feel like we're putting this plane on landing gear and we're seeing the landing point like, man, in another 30 years, I'll be down on the ground. That's it. And we start wondering, what did I accomplish? And we can panic and do different things. Do run away, not do the right things financially, not do the right things when it comes to marriage. You're just doing different things and get critical of our spouses. God did not make a mistake with the person you have. That is the right person for you. And sometimes we get confused with, oh, well, maybe I need to look younger. Well, you're where God wants you to be. That's just the reality. I'm embracing that every day. I'm like, you know what? I try to go to the gym. I say, no, this guy, man, he's doing so many. I try to do that. I'm like, oh, no. I just watch him and say, it's good to see you, man. I'll go there on the bike and I'll be there for a few, 10 minutes and I'll go. There's nothing wrong. But we can get discontented so much with life. And get so confused and miss the big picture that when God calls, what counts is your family. Family loves you, nothing else. So fight for that. For men, let's fight for that. And for sisters, fight, hang with them tight when they're getting a little bit out of place. Hang out with them and help them to get perspective. That's how it works. Anyway, love each other with genuine affection and take diligent delight in honoring each other. That's an amazing place to be. That I delight in honoring you and how what God is doing with you. That means I feel secure in God. I don't feel less a person because you have this or you have that. I just delight and say, God has blessed you guys, and that's awesome. The world in the other world is competitive. We're afraid. And we just feel like something is not in place just because somebody has something that you don't have. Really? You don't know how they arrived at that place. Maybe their grandmother just passed on all that money and you want that money right now. You don't know that for sure. So we all have to let go of that stuff and support one another, be joyful for one another. So honor each other. Never be lazy, but work hard and serve the Lord enthusiastically.
I mean, church, how is that going? Do we work hard to serve God enthusiastically? That is, we're energized about church things, whatever it is, we just love to be part of what's going on there.
Or do we complain, here goes another thing, and we grumble about that? But if I say to you, I have an overtime coming, and I can give you $1,000 for that 1 hour, you will jump and say, I'll be there. No offense with money. You need money to leave. But what I'm trying to say is that seek first His kingdom and His righteousness, and all these things will be given to you as well. So I have nothing against money. I think that you need to get it the right perspective. Okay, because you need that to make a living, but get it the right perspective. Are we energized? Are we energized with our family groups? Are we energized in our relationships? The one another thing, do we fight for that? It's easy for you to lose perspective because of material stuff. Because of just small issues in life. You know, be energized. How energized are you to get to church? Is that something you want to do? We'll get there when we get there anyway. Is that your attitude? We've got to be energized about this stuff. Make it great, awesome, to glorify God. Rejoice in our confident hope. Be patient in trouble. And keep on praying. So rejoice in our confident hope. So you got to have hope in life. Hope is amazing. Hope in Christ is amazing. It keeps you going. And it says, be patient. There will be trouble. But take heart that I have overcome all the troubles in this world. That's what I'm paraphrasing what Jesus said. If you come to me. And keep on praying. Let's not lose energy just because trouble came. You know, trouble is part of life. And if you're a faithful disciple, you pray and ask people to pray with you, and you walk with that as well, and you become a better person. Not discouraged, angry, and just mourning and bemoaning, why this? Why am I going through this? Why me? That doesn't help you. We've got to open our eyes. God, what are you doing with all this situation? And then come about and say, God really changed my heart. You know, I find out that when I don't deal with stuff, I'm very depressed. Or even at least I'm a functional depressed fellow. I'm walking around, but I'm feeling like, yeah, you know, my body doesn't feel right. I'm walking around and I feel tired and all that stuff, but I'm functional. I'm waking up and going. I'm not locking all the doors and the windows yet. I'm still going out. I'm like, yeah, good to see everyone. But if you look at me like, what happened to him? But if you pray, you wake up with hope. Like, my goodness, God's going to do something about this. The problem doesn't change. God changes your attitude and your view of life. And all of a sudden, you see that nothing can stand before you. God will fix that. So that we don't have this life doing this. It does that because we're dependent on the outside and what is going on outside. But when we depend on God, we can soar above all what's happened to us. But if we don't, we let the world just do this to us. Today you are happy, tomorrow you're down. Why? Because something went down. And so our life becomes very miserable. And yet we worship a God that made the universe. We've got to look at that God and say, if God, you can fix the universe, surely you can help me out. With that faith, we can live a Christian life that inspires the world. Then people can ask, what is it that you drink? Then you can tell them, it's about God that makes me this way. And you can share your faith and help them to come to God. Why? Because your life really speaks much, way more than we say Jesus is Lord. Your life is the biggest message you can put out there. And the whole world goes to church now, but it's the life that people are looking for. It's not what you say. It's your life. That transformational can bring anyone to Christ. Practice hospitality. How about this? Another question. When is the last time you had someone in your home? Well, John says 2 days ago. This is not a guilt question. It's to get you to start thinking, how often do I entertain people? I'm not trying to guilt anyone. That's not my intention. My intention is to trigger your thoughts about entertaining people. Maybe you didn't have them in your house. You took them out for a cup, whatever, coffee, ice cream, whatever you do. When is the last time you did this? We really need to learn to be hospitable and bring people in our homes. Well, I got one man who agrees with me here. Amen. And anyone can do this. You don't have to have a lot of money. You can really do this. You got to give your time to talk, to see how you're doing, give them something and hang out and just talk and find out how people are doing. It says here, when God's people are in need, be ready to help them. Always be eager to practice hospitality. Eager. I can help you get there. Where are you going? I'm going that direction. If you need it, I can get you there. The body of Christ needs to be different. The world doesn't want to try anything. So when I ask you, when is the last time you had anyone come to your place or you took someone out, I'm just saying, you know, we really need to up our game here. We need to up our game. We need to up our fellowship lifestyle. Amen. And this is not just for singles and campers. We really need to have a great fellowship lifestyle. Now, we got to get the sisters out, brothers, single brothers and single sisters. We got to get that fellowship going. But even marriage, let's invite people in our homes. Let's have people come in our homes. Yeah. And with that happening, you can help people to know God as well. And it says, bless those who persecute you. Don't be angry. Pray for them. Don't curse them. Pray that God will bless them. If you can do that, that's not like the world at all. Remember it said at the top of Romans 12, do not be conform to the world. Be different. So it says here, bless those who persecute you. Now those that insult you, the guys that are giving you a hard time at the office, trying to get your job, trying to undermine you, that pray for them. Those guys, they have no control over you. The moment you do that, you realize you've been giving too much power to them. The owner of that job is upstairs. And you need to pray and do your part, but pray and stay with God. I think sometimes we panic way too much to a point where we don't even see the opportunity. Sometimes God is trying to get you out of a bad place to a good place, but you don't see it. You just, I got to hold on this job. But God says, this is not what you need. Move over there. We got to get open about this. Bless them. That's different from the world. Very different. Don't curse them. Pray that God will bless them. Be happy with those who are happy and weep with those who weep. We got to enjoy life with each other. Have a good time, hang out together. But sometimes life is tough and we just need to mourn with one another. People are sick. We got to visit them. We got to be there when they're talking about tough times. They're dealing with difficult situations. Be there for people. Don't be the kind of guy who says, how are you doing? Not good. Okay, I'll be praying for you and you hurry to leave. What about, how can I help? Is there anything I can do? Or sometimes you know what you need to do. So don't ask, says, I can do this for you if that's okay with you. Let's be energized about building the body of Christ. It's different. It's not like the world. But we have to make that difference ourselves. So it says, weep with those who weep. Let's reach out to the difficult people that are having a tough time. Reach out to them. You know, sometimes we are so afraid of tears. I don't know why, but we're just afraid of anyone who is seemingly not together. We need to learn to be okay with such people. Because it's not us who's weeping. It's them. They need our comfort. They don't need us avoiding them. It says, I just wanted to give you time. Really? I felt abandoned when I needed you. You didn't come. What happened there? We need to connect when people are feeling these things and really love them. That's the body of Christ. And healing happens. Change happens. Growth happens. More people want to come in the body of Christ when that's happening. Live in harmony with each other. Don't be proud to enjoy the company of ordinary people. And don't think You know it all. You know, I read that scripture and I tried to remember my high school days, and I thought that was like high school days. You know, when you had cliques. You hung with a certain clique. This clique was from this place, and there were this type of guys, the high guys, the low guys, and they didn't know nothing, and the nerds and all those people. And you don't want a church to become like that, but we can be cliquey. We can just be cliquey, talk to the same people every Sunday, same people. You almost have a routine, same people. Get to know someone else. There are 261 people around here. Now, I am aware you cannot have 261 friends. You'll be, okay, it'll be 260 because you're number 61. So you'll be 260. I'm sure you cannot build all the friends. But at least you can get to know different people. I'm also aware that you can build more than, most people can hold close friends about 5 or 4 close friends. Most the rest will be just be, hey, I know this person. I'm aware of all that fact, but can you get to know different people from time to time? Let's not be cliquey. I'm amazed at how sometimes the most ordinary person will teach you a lot of things about life. The guy you're like, well, I went to a shoe repair once on 78, and I talked to him, and I got in there, and he says, there was a sign there that says minimum payment, $8, no credit. And I said, okay. So I talked to him, and he was educating me what he does and why he can justify it, $8 for the little job he'll do for about it was less than 5 minutes I was out there, but he took the $8. But I had a bag walking, and I said to myself, wow. And it was what I got, so it was he was the son, and the father was teaching him how to do the trade. So the son was in front a lot, but the father was walking behind. And business was moving. And I said to myself, wow. And they've been doing that for a long time. So I told myself, that's a good relationship with father-son relationship right there. It was working pretty good. There are lessons there. That's an ordinary place. They weren't dealing with iPads and iPods. They were just dealing with old leather shoes. Very ordinary place. And some of us don't like to be ordinary. We feel like, I'm not ordinary. Well, I'll let you figure that out. Because sometimes the insecurities create all that stuff. But God should take that away. God should help you be deeper than... Don't let what somebody has created define you. In other words, I don't want to feel better than you just because I have something you don't have. That was created by another guy. Maybe in Silicon Valley, or maybe in China or Japan, who knows? I want to be on a value that is God. That's the value I want to have with you. That you're my brother, you're my sister, that we have that value that is bigger than anything else that a human being has created. Does that make sense? So that's why you can hang out with ordinary guys, because there's a big, deeper value. You're not you don't feel less a person just you spoke to X, Y, Z. You are way more deeper than material. And don't think you know it all. Never pay back evil with more evil. Do things in such a way that everyone can see you are honorable. So we don't know everything. It's a good place. There was a time when I had all the answers for my children. Now, f***ing me. It's a very good place to be. I'm always behind the news. I'm like, so what happened there? What's happened with this guy? Oh, this guy. What's happening with NBA? Oh, this is what's going on. I'm like, wow, there was a time I knew everything. Now, and that's my illusion. I don't think I knew everything. That was my view of myself. But get older, you begin to realize, hold on, man, I don't know everything. And you're okay to not knowing everything. It's okay. Sometimes we carry too much a burden to be perfect. Take it easy. If you don't know something, figure it out with people. They'll help you out. That's Christ. The world, you have to pretend like you know everything. Sometimes you're lost of direction and you'll not ask anyone. Sometimes your GPS is not working. You need to talk to someone because it brought you to the wrong place.
It's happened to me a few times. It says, you've arrived. I say, I've not arrived. I don't see anything. Then I have to step on and say, by the way, do you know this person? Some people look at me like, I'm like, yeah, it's just not working. It didn't bring me to the right place. You got to learn to not know everything. It says right there, never pay back evil for evil. We've talked about that already. Do things in such a way that everyone can see you're honorable. One quality that the church can really grow in as we practice this is that we can help a lot of people to know God. Because as they see that, they get attracted to that. But just the sheer aspect of I invite you to church, that doesn't really do much. What really does much is the testimony of your life. People say, I want to come to what you go to. It's how you treat one another, treat different people who don't look like you, how you treat your spouses, how you treat your children. All that stuff attracts people to Christ. I mean, we live in a world that Jesus is spoken about everywhere. But that doesn't change people. People change when they experience you differently. And that's what this is important about. So we can be very fruitful as a church if we got this right. And it says, do all that you can to live in peace with everyone. Sometimes you'll have people that don't want to live in peace with you. You say everything nicely, but they don't like you. Then remember there's a scripture that says, as long as it depends on you, live with peace. But you'll try. There are people that you'll say everything nicely. Oh, you'll be so gentle. They'll still sneer to you and say all kind of nasty stuff. When that happens, don't lose sleep. Pray and let it go. Sometimes we want to win the whole world and the whole world doesn't want it. Pray and let it go. Dear friends, never take revenge. Leave that to the righteous anger of God. Are you kidding me? I mean, the other day I walked to an AT&T office and the guy spoke to me and I was like, we were having an interaction. I said, how long will it take? 10 minutes. I said, I can wait 10 minutes. Then I waited 20 minutes. I woke up and talked to the manager. What's going on? My goodness, the way he talked to me, I was like, what do you mean? My whole anger was coming out. And I thought to myself, right now if I say anything, I'm going to really be a big mess. So I waited for a few time, walked around. I even called John. I said, John, I'm considering moving on to Verizon. How about that? He says, come, that's a good place, it's a good place. I say, well, that's not exactly what is this supposed to be handled like. Eventually I calmed down and I said, you know, here's what I'm feeling. I made a decision to stay because of 10 minutes and here's what I feel. Dismissed and all that stuff. Oh, he explained to me. Oh, I'm sorry about that and all that. But until then, I wasn't doing so well. I was ready to give him a revenge conversation. I say, you stick it to me, I'm going to stick it to you too. Am I the only one that does that? That feels these things and then comes to church and says, nothing happened. I never feel these emotions. What's wrong with you, preacher man? You need to get yourself together.
Take some classes.
Yeah, I need to go take some classes. Anger management. The reality is that we struggle with this stuff. But we think that it's weakness to confess that. You need to confess that is to agree with what God says, to turn back and get the conviction says, because that's not right, I got to turn around. Now, praise God that I didn't get on, but the struggle was right there. The Bible says you got to deal with the temptations. They were right there. If I acted on it, I was really going to sin. But I said, okay, I'm struggling right now big time with anger, but I'm going to take a different route. The Bible talks about, dear friends, never take revenge. Leave that to the righteous anger of God. For the scriptures say, I will take revenge. I will pay them back, says the Lord. Sometimes it takes years. Or you don't see it because you want it in another way. You wanted them just to fall down and die. They have not fallen down and died yet. Yeah, they didn't die. Your revenge method didn't work. God has a different way of fixing that. Instead, if your enemies are hungry, feed them. It takes an understanding of who God is to give people to do what is contrary to what your human self flesh wants you to do. It takes you to be imbued by the Holy Spirit
to change your attitude to forgive and to love people that you think, I would never have loved this kind of a guy. And if we're not allowing the Holy Spirit to do that in our body of Christ, then people walk in here and say, but they come to church, but they're not really what they say they are. We've got to be what we claim to be. In relationships, in how we treat society, community, and everyone else, we've got to demonstrate Christ in us. Feed them. If they're thirsty, give them something to drink. In doing this, you will heap burning coals of shame on their heads. You're not doing that to get back to them. You're doing that because God asks us to be different from the world. We're not trying to get back to them. If you do that, that motive is wrong. You're doing that because the conviction of God that we treat our enemies different. The world wants to kill them. We say, we pray for them so they may come to know Him. And that's how God wants you and I to treat one another. Then the church is different from the world. But if the church is just pretending to be superficial, it looks more like the world. And people wonder, what's the difference? It has to be different because of how we deal with conflict, issues, forgiveness, and moving forward. Don't let evil conquer you, but conquer evil by doing good. Now, this is a tough thing. I mean, overcoming evil, it's at the door, always trying to master you. It triggers you. Whether it's conversation, whether it's just thoughts, whether it's what you view, it's right there, fighting. And the Bible says, do not let it overcome you. You cannot do that by being defensive. You do that by growing in Christ. If all you do is say, I will not sin, I will not sin, that's not going to help you. What are you going to do to grow in Christ and do what Christ wants you to do? How different will be your marriage tonight when you go home? How different will your relationship be as single people, single parents? How will you handle that differently? You've got to start saying, here's where God is calling me to be different. We cannot sit and say, I'm just not going to do it. That doesn't help. You've got to step out and say, how will I grow? How will I be different? Tomorrow you're going to walk in the office and the same guy is going to come and say the same things. How different will you treat them? You're going to be on the road tonight and some guy is going to cut you out. How different will you be? You get in the car and the children will do something. How different will you be? Christianity is not this abstract idea tacked out in an office somewhere. It's a lifestyle. It's what we live every day. We're not perfect people, but we are growing people. We don't sin willy-nilly. We desire to be different. So based on the first chapter that says, do not conform to the world, we're going away from the world. We are an alternative to the world. The world walks in and says, this is different. I pray that you've been blessed and encouraged. God bless you. Welcome on. Welcome on. Welcome on.